Mark 1, 9 to 15. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." The next one is 1 Peter 3, 18 to 22. "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not to remove the dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities and powers in submission to him."
Well, thank you for having me here today. I guess one of the beauties of not having a minister is you get... So today, this Sunday marks the first week in Lent. Lent is the 40 days leading up to Easter, 40 weekdays. I mean, Lent's not a biblical word, what it represents, why we call it Lent, what Lent is about. It's a time when we are to remember Christ's death and resurrection and celebrate it with prayer, fasting, repentance and giving. So I thought it was fitting today to start with the baptism of Jesus, which was the start of his public ministry, and then the 6 weeks will lead you through to his death and the end of his public ministry in that style. It begs the question, why did Jesus die? Why did this happen? Why? Crucifixion's just a horrible, horrible, cruel death. Probably one of the worst in those days. The Romans would find horrible ways to kill people. You'd actually drown in your own phlegm. You couldn't breathe, you'd suffocate. Why did Jesus have to die? So I'm interested in some answers to that question.
So there's lots of reasons. And so I'm just going to touch on some for now. I'm not going to go into the depth of them, but hopefully it'll give you something to focus on in your 6 weeks leading up to his death and resurrection, why this happened. And you can focus on some of these things. I've just done a bit of a brainstorm, no particular order. But the first one that I've written down is that he died because he loves us so much. His love for us is extraordinary. You know, you see, just at the right time when we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God is extraordinary. It's wide and deep and high and long. But it's not just a theology. You know, we sing that little Bible, the little hymn, "Jesus loves me, this I know." But do you know? Do you know? Or is it just a theology? The love of God has to be a reality in our lives.
You know, every time a prayer is answered, that's the love of God. Every time you see God's provision, that's the love of God. Every time things work out, you go, I don't know how it's going to work out, and it does, it's the love of God. All the time he's showing us his love. So another question for you. How has he tangibly shown you his love? How do you know that God loves you? Not because you sing a song, not because you read it in scripture, but how do you know that he loves you?
Years ago, I told the story before, something like that, I said to God, okay, you say you love me, I want to know how much you love me. And you can say that to God too. Pray that prayer. God, if you love me, show me. I want to know. That preacher this morning asked what was, that I don't believe you really love me. So I asked him. And so this day, middle of summer, go to the shopping centre, I'm not Richmond, park in North Richmond, go to the shops, there's a florist there, there's all sorts of flowers. But I did notice a bucket of pink roses with a sign on them that says, someone special, $4, whatever. Get walking, do my shopping, come back out to the car, and there's a pink rose outside the door of my car. In the hot sun, on a hot picture. And I remember the sign, someone special. That's God. Now, I could have missed it. Oh, yeah, there's a rose there, you can have it, there's some rubbish there, you can have it. No, that's God. And he wants to do the same for all of you. He wants to show you how precious and special and unique you are. He loves you. Incredible. Jesus died because of his great love for us, God's great love for the world. Jesus died to defeat the works of the evil one. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. He thought he was dead and buried in hell and gone. And 3 days later, he rose. And he defeated sin and death and hell. It's defeated. And we can walk with this all-conquering, all-victorious God. We need to learn to walk our life in that victory. I live up on the hill at Bushland Beach. I love it up there. It's beautiful. I like leaving all the doors open and letting the breeze through until I realised that by leaving the doors open, I also let the snakes in. And I'm not very excited about snakes. And so I realised very quickly I had to close the doors. And even closing the doors wasn't enough. I had to make sure that underneath the doors and every little crack and cranny was nicely sealed off. And that's sort of what we've got to do with our lives, people. See, the enemy wants to come in like a snake, and he's looking for open doors to come in. Doors of sin. In Galatians 5 it says hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. All these things are doors. Past traumas. And we need to close those doors. We need to deal with them in our lives so the enemy doesn't come in, and so we can walk in the victory that is ours. In Jesus Christ. That victory has been won for us, a wonderful victory. Sin is defeated. Death is defeated. Let's close the doors where he tries to get in our lives and in our communities. He came to bring in his kingdom. Mark 1, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Last year, we had a change in that once Queen Elizabeth died, then King Charles took over the Commonwealth. It became his kingdom now. And that's what happened. It was the kingdom belonged to the enemy. But Jesus brought his kingdom in. And what's his kingdom look like? What's the kingdom of God look like? It looks like everything that God is. What is God? Who is God? Give us words. Love. Someone said peace before. Peace. Forgiveness. Joy. Life. Hope. This is the kingdom of God.
Well, it says actually in there's a scripture there. The kingdom of God, Romans 14, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
That's the kingdom. That's what we live under. That's the kind of lives that we can live because of Christ's death on the cross. There's a new kingdom. We walk in that kingdom. He came to forgive us our sins. I didn't understand that. And I asked someone about it, and they gave me this Hebrews 9:22, which says, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. So if you speed, you have a ticket to pay, or points to that against your name, and the only way of getting rid of that ticket is by paying that fine, or letting time go till those points go. And so the only way of getting rid of sin was the shedding of blood. And there's a shedding of blood every year by an unblemished lamb that took place to wipe out people's sins. But Jesus was that unblemished lamb that came forever, for once and for all. He came. Never again do we have to carry the burden of our sin. It's forgiven. It's washed away. It's taken. He came to reconcile us to God himself. For Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. God all righteous, couldn't look down on unrighteousness. But Jesus washed away our sin. He took our sin for us. And then God could look down on our righteousness. And that gap was covered by Jesus. And so he reconciled us back to God. We can know God. We can talk with God. We can bring all our concerns and worries and cares to God. We can hear God speak to us. We can get God's direction and leading in our lives. What a privilege. What a privilege. All because of Jesus' death and resurrection. And we have the gift of eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We have that gift of life forever. Life with God. Life that begins now. Life in all its fullness. And so many people don't know that life. Don't have that hope. If Jesus hadn't died on the cross, we wouldn't have his Holy Spirit. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of the Counselor that teaches us, that comforts us, that directs us, that guides us, was not available, is now available to us through Jesus' death and resurrection. We are here today because of Jesus' death and resurrection. He birthed the church out of his death and resurrection. He told us to, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. And then you look in the book of Acts and you see the birth of the church. Extraordinary. Thousands added to the number. And we are here today because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Sitting here, I am meeting you. We can have fellowship with each other. Wonderful fellowship. Fellowship that's not available in any other club or society, because we're brothers and sisters in Christ, united through his Spirit, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's Theology 101 for you today. And there's a lot more you could unpack, and I hope over the weeks you will begin to think about some of those things and why Jesus died. There's so much more. But the crucial question is, what is our response? We, as the church, the people of God, we have the answers to life. We know how much God loves us. We can walk in victory. We know that the enemy's been defeated. We can live in his kingdom. We can be forgiven. We can be reconciled to God. We can inherit eternal life. We can have his Holy Spirit. We can enjoy the fellowship of the church. This is not available to the world, none of that. And yet the world is seeking so much for those answers to life. And here we are sitting in our little, I like to call it black boxes, but this is hardly a black box, with all the answers to life. And there's a world out there saying, what's the answer? What's the meaning of life? How do you, the people in them, communicate? the world out there what Jesus has done for us on the cross. It's truly the challenge of the church today. And, you know, we read about baptism being a symbol. It's not just going into the water. It's the cleansing and washing of our hearts that God does. So this wonderful facility is just a symbol. This is not the church. Sure, we call it the church. You guys are the church. You are the church. And you are the ones that have to take all the things that God did for us at the cross, how we're giving His one and only Son for us. We are the ones that need to carry it out in the world. We are the ones that need to work out how we get out into the community and share this message, not in some religious way, but some way that's real, that conveys incredible love that God has for us. And why He did this for us. He's called us into the world to go and show His love. And let me say, it's not just about being nice to people. The world is nice to people sometimes. It's a radical love. Let's be radical lovers for Jesus. Let's love the unlovely. Let's love the people that are difficult, that are awkward. Let's love the mentally ill. Not just talk about it. Get our hands and our feet dirty. Let's walk the extra mile. Let's turn the cheek. Let's love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Let's express our love in very, very tangible and real ways that connect with the community. We love because God first loved us. That's why we can do it, for no other reason. Let's defeat the evil in our community. Where is there evil in your community? Because God has placed you here to bring His kingdom apart in those places where there is evil. I don't know what there is. Is there suicide? Is there domestic violence? Is there homelessness? These are the evils in our community. Is there any crime? He's calling the church to be the answer and to bring His kingdom to play in those places. It's a challenge, but let's start looking at it and let's start realizing that we are the church. It's not what happens on Sunday, wonderful as that is. It's what we do with the being the people of God every other day of the week. I would love to think that Ingham was known as a place where all those social indicators were at their very lowest, that crime was at the lowest in Ingham, that domestic violence was at the lowest in Ingham, that suicide was at the lowest here, that there was no homelessness in Ingham. Because the people of God have raised up and taken seriously what Christ did for us in His death and resurrection. Let's take back the ground. Let's establish His kingdom. Let's make Ingham a place of righteousness, joy and peace. Not just this church, this building, but let's make Ingham. He's called us here to influence our community. Ask God to show you how to do it. It'll be radical, but we've got to be radical to smash things and to make a change. Go out and do RI, serve in the schools, do the breakfast clubs or the other programs where you can adopt kids in the schools. Work out how to work with refugees or homeless or domestic violence victims. I love what I hear you're doing, I think it's Wednesday lunchtimes, feeding the hungry. Fabulous. Okay, it mightn't be quite working yet. You've got to work out how to get to those people, how to reach those people, how to truly reach the people God wants us to reach. It's all part of the challenge. And we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We take it by faith. We've got to learn as the church to walk in faith, not just in what we can do. That's easy. It's what we can't do. That's faith. And that's what God requires of us. And that's what Stable is, completely a walk of faith. We've gone down financially the last 2 years. We run out of money in about June this year. But by faith, we met last weekend to pray about it, the management team. God wants us to keep going. He's going to provide. We walk by faith every year for enough volunteers, for enough finances, for the people to come, for all the activities, and it's amazing. The amazing miracles we see God do. And that's what you will see. You will see amazing miracles when you step out in faith. When we live in the security of who we are and what we know and what we can do, that's easy. God calls us to walk by faith. What does life be like for you to be walking today by faith? And tomorrow by faith? You get up, you have your breakfast. Where's faith? Where are you walking by faith? Because that's what God calls us to do.
Practice forgiveness. Just as Christ has forgiven us, we need to forgive others. The world is very good at holding offence. You see it on Facebook all the time. I'm not going to talk to them anymore. Don't do that. Let church, please, let's not be like the world and take offence of people. There's anyone that you haven't forgiven. It's a door open for the enemy. We need to be a people of forgiveness. Great to see the lady, the horrible story of the lady who was killed down in Ipswich, I think it was, or in that area, stabbed by a black African guy. But a strong Christian lady, and so the daughter is standing with the African community, saying, it's not your fault, we forgive you. That's a Christian response, that's not a world response. And we have to work out how to have those sorts of Christian responses.
Be confident, people, that you have that gift of eternal life. You are on his team. Go out and play for him. He is with you. Be filled with the Spirit of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit that he gives us, and enjoy the encouragement and the support of other Christians that we find when we gather together as the church. I move around the area, I preach, and I feel that my job is to stir up the people of God. Let's move out of our church buildings, out into the community, and be the church, and be who God calls us to be, purely because of his death and his resurrection, which we'll celebrate at Easter in 6 weeks' time.